Now, last time we spoke to Paul Quigley, our White Cane Warrior down in Manchester, he was heading out the very next day to Henshaw's to an event, taking his guitar, weren't you, sir?
I was indeed, sir. Thank you very much for having me back on, Simon.
You're very welcome. I do hope that was your guitar.
Hey, your guitar.
Your guitar. Now, tell us, for those that weren't familiar, you were heading off to one of the local meetings, yeah, weren't you?
That's right.
And we were encouraging folk to sort of take advantage, yeah, of your local societies.
Yes, it was great. We went to Henshaw's in Manchester, and the local VI community met together, and myself and another musician called Stuart Thompson, who plays the banjo and the mandolin, and myself, Paul, on guitar and lead vocals. We worked our way through an instant set, almost, of Irish traditional folk songs, and played for about half an hour to the VI people there, and everyone, you know, great fun was had by all, and we've been booked again, Simon. So, yes, we've been booked again to repeat the headache. So the enjoyment. So yes, it was great. It was really good, and everyone enjoyed it. So I would certainly encourage other people to consider, you know, if they've got any skills and talents, as we talked about last time, you know, that they've got, to suggest it to their local organisers and to get involved, because it certainly helps, you know, get people talking and say, oh, you know, I play instruments as well. And you'd be surprised that, you know, we met some great people that day that we hadn't met before. So yes, it was, all in all, it was a wonderful experience.
And you might be sitting at home thinking, do you know, these things are all very well and good, but they don't really work for me. I don't fancy it. Now, I think you and I, Paul, are both the type, yes, of people that generally would shy away from meetings like that in the past. It's not until we've been involved that you realise the benefits of actually getting to meet other folk.
That's right. It is. And a particular, I suppose, in a way where maybe you and I are a little bit different, in the sense that, you know, having done it professionally and do it on a regular basis like you do as well, that we would consider these things to be almost semi-rehearsal. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be worth it, but it is. It's because I think it takes it back to the fundamentals of what music used to be in days gone by, you know, when people would just literally sit in the corner of a pub or a moot hall or a community room, or even people's homes, come to think of it. You think about the number of pianos that, you know, parlor pianos and whatever, that people used to sit around after dinner or whatever the meal, if they were even the poor folks, you know, obviously they go down to the local pub, but for the people who had more money, they'd sit around and they'd sing songs, and traditional folk songs were passed down through history that way. So it's getting back to the roots in some ways, without having to plug in, and, you know, there was no amplification, we didn't use any amps or any microphones, it was literally totally organic acoustic, and yet it really is very earthy, and I would certainly recommend it to anybody who's so wedded to their electronics and synths and pedals or PA, whatever. Try and strip it back to basics and just put yourself to the test as a musician. And you'd be surprised at just how, in a way, it's like it's tests of, you know, test your own metal about, can you pull it off? And we did. Well, it was different, really, because we had two, you know, an acoustic guitar and a banjo, and we were wailing over the top. You can't really go wrong in my book. But I mean, it was great. It really is good. And I would certainly recommend anybody, and don't be shy, because everyone's in the same boat. Just get in there, suggest it to the local organizer, and get down and have a go, and I think you'd be surprised at just how much fun you'll have. I certainly did. It was great fun.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I was going to get at, because whether you're taking part in the actual the music, or if you're just enjoying it in a group, it's quite an uplifting experience, actually.
Very uplifting. It is. It's one of those things that I think we don't do enough of, and in society now, the number of pubs that are closing down, as people have found out, up and down the high street, shops are closing, our pubs are closing, and there's fewer and fewer places for people to get together like that. And in some ways, you could say that us in the blind and VI community are quite lucky in that we do have, you know, some network of different places like Henshaw's, and obviously some events that R&IB get together from time to time. You know, the more that voluntary, you know, the volunteer community of R&IB can put forward, you know, pitch different projects, maybe like that one that Henshaw's do, it would be a great idea to actually bring people together. Because I mean, just to sit down and drink coffee and eat biscuits is nice, but I mean, it'd be great if there could be something like an undercurrent of like a culture, subculture within the community that people are building and is organically growing kind of over time. I think it would be great.
Trust you and your hippie ways.
Absolutely. Peace out, man. Moving swiftly on,
actually. Now, we were talking off air, as we do, because we're quite boring old guys, and we were talking about dentists and stuff like that. But the serious aspect is, it comes back to, as most things do, and you and I are not very technically adept, let's be honest, And it comes to filling out forms. That can be a real issue. Tell us your experience with the dentist recently.
Something I think a little tip for us white cane warriors, guide doggers and blind people out and VIP people out there. If forms, filling in forms is an absolute bugbear nightmare for all of us, particularly whether or not, even if you do or you don't live with a partner or whatever, but those of us that don't live with a partner and are really trying the whole full independence, you know, Equalities Act bit where, you know, corporates and everybody have to provide everything in different formats for accessibility, we often find that the only part that falls through the cracks is the form filling part. Thus far, technology hasn't been able to find a way for a VI person to fill in a form. You might shout, oh, PDFs online. Well, yes, but a lot of people can't even access screen technology. They can have text-to-speech readers, which is fine, but actually the dexterity you need to fill in a form in is beyond the pale. You can't do it. It's impossible. Anyway, long story short, I went to the dentist a couple of weeks back because I needed a filling doing. And at the time that comes to pay, of course, you declare whether or not you have any disability entitlements that exempt payment, or if you haven't got any proof, whether you have to pay for it. Anyway, long story short, I was a bit confused, you know, which benefit I happened to be on, whether it qualified for free NHS dental care or not. So, and I needed this filling doing. It really did need doing. So I said, I'll pay for it. And whether or not I just thought I've got to pay for this. Now, a filling in England and Wales, I don't know about Scotland, but in England and Wales is £59.10. I think that's, you check that up on the internet. £59.10. I thought, oh, okay. So out comes the card, paid for it, you know, had the treatment, and got the receipt and off I went. And it wasn't until afterwards I was thinking, that can't be right. How can somebody who's surviving solely on disability benefits, for which I am at present, be expected to pay that sort of money out of their weekly money for a filling if anything goes wrong? That cannot be right. And I looked up there was a text-to-speech read thing I've got, and I found out that there was indeed a form that you can claim back. And I found out that I did qualify. I made a mistake, or rather the woman in the dentist made this mistake, that I did actually qualify. I shouldn't have paid for that out of my own money, air quotes, my own money. And long story short, there was a form that could be filled in to make a reclaim. Now, the form duly arrived, couldn't fill it in because I couldn't see it. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I haven't got a clue what to do. So I rang up the dentist, and there was a free phone NHS phone number, apparently. So I phoned up, we'd given this number, phoned it up, and there was a very nice young lady on the end of the number who knows that I'll have to give it to you this time. It can be found out if you just put in free phone NHS and then put in the form HC5D. That's the name of the dental form, HC, which stands for health claim, 5, the number 5, and a D. If you look that up, there is a form you can get. They will, with the phone number, actually fill that form in for you. So I'm in the middle of this process yet. It hasn't quite finished. I wouldn't say we've had a success, air quotes, but there is this, a bit like the NHS medicine line you can phone up if you ever get a medicine and you can't find out what it actually says on the packet. You can ring up the RNIB, a big part, RNIB medicine helpline, and it'll read out the instructions or whatever it is, or the ingredients. Similar to that they will actually take your details down, nothing too personal, name, address, date of birth, all that good stuff, and they will do the form filling. And so you don't even need to find your local social worker, if indeed they're already still left in your borough. There wasn't on mine, and that's why I kind of had to keep on looking. Mine weren't available at the time. So long story short, there is help available out there for when it comes to some form filling for, you know, official forms. And that also, I'd like to, you know, carry this through. It does exist also at HMRC. If you ever have any dealings with Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, they too have a form filling helpline as well with HMRC. If you ask for extra need, they will help you with form filling as well. So yes, it's getting better out there. That's my sort of lesson of the week. I learned that things are gradually getting better for us out here, Simon, getting better.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can always phone the RNIB advice line if you want some more advice on these kind of things. It's 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. That's the RNIB advice line. Well, Paul Quigley, I know we can't keep you captured for long because you're like a wild animal.
Caged beast, absolutely.
Right, Paul, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for your gems today, and we'll speak with you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, take care. Thank you, Simon. Cheers. Bye-bye.